Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Coast Community Radio. I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, and the show is entitled Friday with Jim. Really happy to have with me for our guest today, Matt Love, noted author and recent immigrant to Astoria, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But it is pledge drive, and so we're going to be interrupting our discussion quite a few times to talk about pledge drives. And have you got something there to get us started with, Terry?
Well, I'd like to give the phone numbers, 503-325-0010 for the local area, and outside the local calling area, 1-800-518-0010, and, of course, on the web at coastradio.org. Going into your show, we've got some pledge gifts. For a pledge of $50, Moe's Restaurants, at any of the Moe's Restaurants, a $10 gift certificate. And at the 42nd Street Cafe and Bistro, for a pledge of $75, you get a gift of $25, all by calling 503-325-0010, 1-800-518-0010. James?
Yes, as I mentioned before, our guest this Pledge Drive Friday is Matt Love. Matt, thanks for being with us.
I am happy to be here. I love being a part of KMUN's community.
I'd like to start out with a kind of a little biographical sketch of your previous life.
Well, for me, it really all began when I moved to the coast in 1997 to sort of reinvent myself as an author. I'd always wanted to be a writer, and it wasn't really happening in Portland, and came down and moved to the Pacific City area and became the caretaker of a wildlife refuge in that area, then transferred down to Newport to teach at Newport High School for the last 5 years, and then I decided this summer I wanted some new coastal vistas, and I came north. I've always wanted to live in Astoria, and I moved here in November and have just been completely inspired by the community, walking all over town, meeting interesting people, hearing some stories, and the writing continues. And I'm just basically it all got together with the coming to the coast, finding the ocean.
What are you working on now?
I have a book coming out this summer, late summer. It's called Rose City Heist. It's a very interesting story that happened to me. For one day, on August 22nd, 1993, I was the chief suspect in the biggest jewel heist in Oregon history. it's a true story. And got hauled in by the Portland police and the FBI and interrogated. And I was supposed to be on my way to see the Grateful Dead play at Autzen Stadium. Had the tickets in my pocket, and then things happened and never made the show. So that book's coming out this summer, and thinking about I've been writing about Astoria, and something's emerging right now, some kind of interesting new book about the town.
Do you have? I know writer interviews. You ask questions like, "Well, how do you go about writing? You get up at 6:15, and then at 7:40 you start." Typing, how does that work for you?
Well, I think it varies for all writers. Some people are real late night people. I am the crack of dawn. I've been known to get up at 4 a.m. and my best time is morning time. I mean, I rarely write after 7 a.m. Maybe do some editing, but I also, I get asked that all the time at events, but there's nothing prescriptive. You just write when you need to, when you find the time. And for me, the morning is the best time, but sometimes I'll be in a cafe or a bar, and I'll pull out a notebook and just whatever comes to you. I just think you have to make the time to do it.
In fact, when I met you recently at a local watering hole,
yeah,
it was after work cocktail hour, and you were sitting at the bar and you were writing. The first time you were writing longhand. The second time you had kind of a little digital device of some sort.
You're right. I do write in longhand sometime, and I also type on about a 20-year-old word processor called an AlphaSmart, which is an analog relic that I'm able to get a draft out sometimes when people are around me and making noise. And it's just like, you know, a lot of writers write in cafes or bars or restaurants, and sometimes you are able to concentrate more when there's things going on around you. So that's when we ran into each other, and I like having a view when I write too. Sometimes you see a river, mm-hmm. You see a street, that kind of adds some stimulation too.
Give me a kind of what's your take on Astoria? You say you walk around a lot.
I've always wanted to live here, and I had a couple opportunities. They kind of fell through back in the early 2000s. Astoria, there is a zeitgeist here. It's emerging. It's emerged. I've observed different kinds of tourists here than I did in Newport or Pacific City.
In what way?
They're more high-end. There's also that young sort of hipster couple that are walking around from Portland or Seattle, and it's a different kind of tourist. Newport attracted families who were going to go to the beach. You know, Astoria is a river town. You got to drive a few minutes to get to the beach over at Fort Stevens. So that has really struck me as a different kind. Also, that Astoria, because of its history, just has some great architecture, and the buildings and the infrastructure were here for renewal of some kind. And having driven up and down the coast for almost 20 years in my writing and recreation, that these kinds of buildings that are in this town are not elsewhere on the Oregon coast. And so that made, I think, a little the Renaissance possible here and inevitable and interesting. So that's one of the things I've observed.
One thing I'd like to do is give you an opportunity to talk about your books. I've got, I think you've got, what, 10 out now?
I've written 11. I've got 11 out. A lot of them are out of print now, some of the earlier ones about some Oregon subject. I write exclusively Oregon nonfiction. Subjects that interest me included the 77 Trailblazers team, the Bill Walton team, mm-hmm. the Vortex Rock Festival that Governor Tom McCall sponsored back in 1970. I write mostly about Oregon's legacy of publicly owned beaches with McCall and Oz West. My latest book was about rain, which is, of course, a quintessential Oregon subject, and Astoria knows it well. And this is sort of a nonfiction meditation on rain. It's called Walking in Rain. And the book that's always came out in 2012 was sometimes a great movie. Paul Newman, Ken Kesey, and the filming of the Great Oregon Novel. That was filmed in Lincoln County in the summer of 1970 when Paul Newman came down and directed the script based on Ken Kesey's classic novel, Sometimes a Great Notion, which turns 50 this year. And so I dive into these Oregon subjects and sort of insert myself as a narrator, kind of like Nick Carraway was in Great Gatsby, where he's like watching the Gatsby do things and then sort of commenting. That's the way I've often felt I put myself into these Oregon subjects, a kind of a second-person observer to some of this stuff.
Second person, cool.
Yeah.
Well, it is pledge drive, and since you're here, Matt, I'd like to get you to do a pledge drive soliloquy of some sort.
Well, I was on my way. This was completely unplanned. I was on my way to the studio today listening to the pledge drive, and I always carry around books with me in the truck because I give them away to some people, perfect strangers sometimes, which always leads to an interesting readership. So I said, why not donate some of my books? So for a $50 donation today, you can have a signed copy of Walking in Rain or Sometimes a Great Movie. And I'm happy to support KMUN and its 30 years here on the North Oregon coast. I came from Newport. They're just getting their public radio station together.
Oh.
They're 30 years behind you guys, and it's going to be a great thing down there. And how important KMUN is to this community, to support the arts, to allow free discussion of political events. So buy the book, make the pledge, and you'll get an interesting reading experience.
Have you thought about becoming a programmer and perhaps actually doing a show?
You know, I have, but I don't think I have a very good radio voice. I think it's too nasally.
Oh, yes, you do.
You see, Terry Wilson, our extraordinary engineer, is at the control of a very sophisticated soundboard, and he can actually put all kinds of effects.
You mean he can give me an echo and give me like a deeper baritone, something like that?
Yeah, you don't need it.
Well, I've often thought about that. I have been on KMUN several times. I was on Liam's show and, of course, Carol's great art show. I've been on there several times, and I think it would be great. I'd love to come and talk about literature or music or I don't know. It would be a good thing to come to get involved in this community, the radio community here.
Talking about literature, that would be great. Where'd you go to college?
I graduated from PSU and got my master's in teaching from Lewis and Clark. And I failed to mention, I basically have been a high school teacher in Oregon for over 20 years. And I'm taking a year off from the classroom to do some other creative endeavors. But who knows? I might be returning somewhere in the North Coast if I can find a job teaching English or creative writing, journalism, photography. Those are the things that I love to bring to students.
It looks like Terry's got some pledge drive
well,
information.
Well, I just wanted to say, if you want to take advantage of Matt's generous donation of his books, for a $50 pledge, you can pick up one of his two books he's talking about, but you have to put your finger to the dial of the telephone and call 503-325-0010 or 1-800-518-0010, or take advantage of the gift certificate from Moe's Restaurants or the 42nd Street Cafe and Bistro in Seaview. Tolavana is where Moe's is. Oh, there's several locations, so, you know, put your finger to the dial, 503-325-0010 or 1-800-518-0010.
And I'd like to remind our listeners that we're visiting with Matt Love, a recent immigrant to Astoria. Welcome.
Love this town. I've been a little surprised that about how many people have actually come across the writing in books. I feel like my audience on the coast was more in the Central Coast, but I've done some events. I've written for the Astorian Coast Weekend and Hip Fish for years, and it was nice to know that the work is getting out there. So that was a pleasant surprise about moving to the community, you know.
Now, in your research for your book, Sometimes a Great Movie, it sounds to me like that was kind of a wild time when they were on the South Coast, mid-coast.
It was.
Can you tell us some stories from that?
Yeah, it's about the whole impetus. The whole nature of that book came across is from a rumor that during the production, a drunk Paul Newman walked into a Toledo bar, whipped out a chainsaw, and cut the legs off a pool table and walked out. And that was a fantastic story that I came across in 2001, right when Ken Kesey died. And, 11 years later, I put out a book that sort of tried to find out if that really happened. Because it was a wild time. Newman was kind of a wild man in that era, and it was a pretty loose production down there, and they got a pretty good film out of it. But it was fun to talk to people who had personal relationships, literally, with a lot of the production crew and the stars, and what a different era that was in Oregon, when you could get close to a celebrity and not use your smartphone and videotape them and all this kind of stuff. So I had a lot of fun researching and producing that book.
Well, but Matt, after 11 years of research, did you find out whether they actually cut the legs off a pool table?
You know, I think it actually happened because I found out that Newman had done something similar. He got into a dispute with the director of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, George Roy Hill, over a liquor tab, and he whipped out a chainsaw and cut his desk in half. Now, that was a year and a half before the production of Sometimes a Great Notion. He knew how to use a chainsaw, and he also, previous to this, had gotten into a dispute with a producer in one of his films and took an arc welder and cut the producer's sports car in half. So Newman was
with an arc welder?
Yeah, with a welding, some kind of something.
Probably a torch.
A torch, thank you. I don't know anything. Acetylene torch, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So he had this reputation as being one of the biggest practical jokers in Hollywood history and, quite the party animal.
Terry, I noticed that you had something come in the
studio
here. Well,
it appears like one of our gift certificates has been spoken for, and Susan has brought me in another gift certificate from the Shelburne Inn and Restaurant, Yummy, in Seaview. So at a pledge level of $50, call us, give us a pledge of $50, and you can get a gift certificate from the Shelburne Inn and Restaurant. That's for food and beverage.
You know, can I interject here? The Moe's has a really great connection to Sometimes a Great Notion. The whole movie, the production, down they had the famous one, you know, the original ones right down there on the bayfront in Newport.
Yes.
And they all hung out there. I mean, that was the place, Moe's Annex, is where they partied after the production. And one of my favorite stories is they look up and there's Marlon Brando and there's Shirley MacLaine. There's Henry Fonda. There's Paul Newman. They're all in there at Moe's Annex. And then they look over and there's Cloris Leachman drunk, passed out in a garbage can. And so, and Newman's favorite meal there, and I got this from people that were still connected to, the, you know, Cindy McAfee, that he loved the shrimp casserole at Moe's, which is no longer on the menu. But when the book came out, Moe's whipped it up again for it, and we did a special event down there. They've been a great supporter of Nastuckus Bit Press, my publishing company. And so if you want the true Moe's experience, get the book, get the Moe's gift certificate, sit down there, and you know, think about all those people that were in there at that time.
Sounds like a wild time.
Yeah.
Now, your latest book, talk a little bit about this one. It's entitled Of Walking in Rain.
Yes. For listeners out there, remember that 2012 was a record rain year on the Oregon coast. We almost got 90 inches in Newport, which almost broke the record. Second wettest rain year in recorded history. That's when I wrote the book, almost in real time, responding to the rain, some of my rain anecdotes. I suffered kind of a horrific personal relationship broke up, and I couldn't figure out what happened, so I just started walking in rain. I started walking out there at all hours, and that's when the book came to me. And then in 2013, it was practically a drought on the Oregon coast. We got half as much rain on the coast that year, and so I would have never written that book in 2013. I had to write it in 2012 when it was actually raining. So it's just my personal take on rain. I have a personal challenge that I can go into a bookstore and sell that book to anybody on the spot who's walked into the bookstore, whether they love the rain or hate the rain. Because I've encountered people that say, I don't want to read a book about rain. I hate rain. I go, this is a chance for you to confront your greatest fear, your greatest depression, especially for the people from Southern California who come up here. I've had a couple encounters in bookstores. I say, challenge yourself intellectually and spiritually right now. Buy my book. Support this. And it's fun to take it to the people and to do a direct sale like that. And it's been really well received, sold really well on the coast. People, you know, we're here, you know, Jim. I mean, you got to embrace the rain or you leave or you become embittered, you know. So we don't want that. Go into it.
So if you took a copy of this book, Of Walking in Rain, down to Lucy's Book here in Astoria, mm-hmm. and somebody walked in, you can guarantee that you could sell this book.
I think I'm at 99%. I used to do, this was the challenge. I went into the Newport bookstores all the time. And it was really quite, I had a great time doing it. Just to, you know, a lot of authors don't make a personal pitch to sell a book to someone they don't know right there. And that's always been a challenge. But I like that because I'm a local author. My books are not distributed outside of Oregon. And I only distribute through independent Oregon bookstores and my website. So I'm kind of like a KMUN local independent.
Which reminds me, this is Coast Community Radio in Astoria, Oregon. We're visiting with Matt Love. Terry, have we got any other pledge drive stuff here?
Well, I'd like to mention once again that for a $50 pledge, Matt has donated some books to us to give out. So for a $50 pledge, you get one of Matt's books. And I like to look at, I'm looking at the back of Walking in the Rain, and I love this quote from Ken Kesey. It says, "Give me a dark, smeary, shiny night full of rain. That's when the fear starts. That's when you sell the juice."
I mean, that's a hot rain line. I wish I had written that. That was actually the whole impetus for the book. I mean, if you've read the novel, you know, and we, of course we live here, what rain does to us sometimes. After that 30th day in a row, you know, in December, and it's just coming on the roof, and it's slanting sideways, and, you know, and so that Kesey's novel about, you know, sometimes a great notion, rain stuff is what inspired my book.
Well, Kesey did his writing really at the start of his career.
Yes.
In fact, I believe he started writing while he was still at Stanford.
Yes. Well, I mean, Cuckoo's Nest came out in 62 when he was 27. Sometimes a Great Notion came out when he was 29.
What was the name of his professor there at Stanford?
Wallace Stegner.
Yeah, yeah.
Who wrote, of course, National Book Award winner, Angle of Repose, great writer. And their stories of their conflict in that creative writing program at Stanford are legendary because, you know, Kesey was, you know, doing some drug experimenting when he was down there and writing lots
of Hell's Angels.
That's correct. And, you know, doing a lot of stream of consciousness, breaking rules, which Wallace Stegner probably wasn't all about in that era. I love his stuff, but very traditional narrative-driven Western writer, and Kesey wasn't interested in that at all.
That was kind of the beginning of the interest with young people as far as psychoactive drugs.
Yeah. Cuckoo's Nest, I've taught that book to high school kids for years, and I never shy away from that. There's just lots of stretches where that book was written on peyote or LSD. There's a lot of hallucination scenes in there in the novel, particularly with the chief as he's imagining being electrocuted or actually being electrocuted, electroshock, and on Thorazine, and he's inside the dam because Celilo Falls was drowned by the Army Corps of Engineers and ended 10,000 years of gathering site. It's like one of the greatest terrible acts of almost cultural genocide in American history. They got to watch it in real time fill up, too. Can you imagine that? And, you know, I love the movie of Cuckoo's Nest, but it strips away all of that. None of that is in the film. And that's why Kesey reportedly never saw it. The movie Cuckoo's Nest, the novel, is about the Chief right. Bromden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the movie's about McMurphy. And Jack Nicholson steals the show. Love the movie. It has its place. But the novel is more quintessential Oregon than the movie is. And so you might want to take a look at that book, reread that. For those of you that came across that book in that counterculture era, it might be time to pick it up again.
Coast Community Radio, we're doing our pledge drive and visiting here with Matt Love. And we've got several prizes that you could win, but I would urge our listeners to come on down to the station. If you haven't been to KMUN, it's situated in an old Victorian house here on Exchange Street, not far from the YMCA.
14th and Exchange.
And there's people manning the pledge drive, which is going to continue until Monday. Is that correct?
Right.
And so I don't know how we're doing. How are we doing? Are we going to meet our goal?
I think we are. We're doing fine. People have been very, very responsive. And you could be responsive, too, by calling 503-325-0010 or 1-800-518-0010. And I'd like to remind you once again of our pledge gifts for Moe's Restaurant in Tolavana Park and other places for a $50 pledge level. You get a $10 gift certificate, or the Shelburne Inn and Restaurant in Seaview, $50 pledge level. So, and of course, Matt's books for a $50 pledge level. You get one of
these. Are not just Matt's books; these are signed.
Oh yes,
by Matt Love himself.
I can guarantee.
In fact, I saw him do it. I really can't read what it says, but
hey, that's you're never supposed to read an author's signature in a signed edition. Come on, it's the whole thing. I'd like to just speak. To how KMUN has really supported me as a publisher and writer, particularly Carol's show, her art show has been instrumental in helping me be introduced to audiences. We need this kind of programming to get the word out, for me at least, as a publisher and writer, and I know musicians and artists, how integral KMUN is to the community in supporting individual arts in our locales, because without it, a lot of the word would not get out about what we're trying to do. And so if you're an artist, a burgeoning one, a veteran one, I think it's well worth making a pledge to, because we're helping one another.
And I've made a command decision, Jim. You don't know about this. I'm going to cancel the news headlines at the top of the hour. We're going to go till 10:06. Just keep talking about Matt's books. And
but Terry, you can't do that without my authorization. Now
I just did it. I got the control, remember?
My power has been usurped.
Yeah. There was a coup inside the studio at KMUN, a sort of an antithesis of what we're supposed to be all about, isn't it? Democracy. So, yeah, just to reiterate, you got to have local people promoting local things. It's so important. The independent bookstores, Astoria is blessed with two of them. There's a great one in Seaside. There's one up in Ilwaco. Without those kinds of independent bookstores, I'd be dead. Because I don't sell my books through Amazon. I don't use a distributor. I'm not going to ship my book out of Oregon to sell back in Oregon.
I'm not going to find this out at Costco?
Hell no.
Oh.
You will not. And that was a conscious business decision. I also print my printers down in Newport. I've worked with him for almost 10 years now. He's a real person. I get to meet him. I don't ship my books to Asia to be printed to bring back to Oregon. And when I go watch my books being made, there's this 1970s German book machine. It's this analog thing with knobs and lights, and there's a real person. I think her name is Michelle. She makes my books, Jim. You know, I, and then she plugs the, she, they put the stuff in, pushes the button. It's like Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory when out comes the candy, and then there's my book. And like, and I took my creative writing students at Newport High School, and when we did our literary reviews, I said, watch your book being made by a real human being. And I think, you know, we walk down there, and it's just so important to support, you know, I call it sustainability in the arts. Same thing as a farmer's market. You know, the heirloom tomato is a little discolored. Maybe it costs a little bit more, but it tastes better. And it's grown within 50 miles of here. And so I like to think of what my books are that way. I know musicians feel the same way, and so do local artists, you know, and craftsmen.
I know that, yes, Terry?
Hi, Matt, say something for me. Say thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Matt in Arch Cape just renewed.
All right.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Arch Cape, love that. Just the, I've been exploring a lot of the beaches around here, too. You know, I, they're not, I'm not really familiar with a lot of them, and I'm, people have been saying, you got to go here, you got to go here. And, like, I love it. You know, I like to think, I think I've hit every county, state, and federal beach access on the Oregon coast from Astoria to Brookings in 17 years. I don't think there's one I haven't been to.